Imagine being a disciple and living and working with Jesus for 3 years. It must have been quite an adventurous life, especially in contrast to what they had experienced before. One high after another, and in between, the friendship of God himself as person doing life with you. One day learning principles and practices that are not only profoundly meaningful, but that alters the way that you do and see things. The next day, witnessing miracles, water into wine, blind who can now see, lame being healed, and then fearing for your life, but knowing that following Jesus is worth it. When Jesus died, the disciples lost a dear friend and companion, but they also lost the life where God's power was tangibly working every day, or at least they thought they had lost this life. I can only imagine how not only distraught they must have felt after losing a loved one, but also the flatness, the emptiness, the dull mundane of every day being just like the day before. The amazing life they had, energized and empowered by God through Jesus, may have now seemed inaccessible. Before the coming of Jesus, there was a period of hundreds of years where Jewish people felt that God was silent. That had changed with the coming of his son, the Messiah. And now, was that channel of God's presence, his energy, his work and words closed? And then Jesus rose from the dead. Now that was powerful, God working. The power of God could not be extinguished. On the contrary, God was still God and working on earth amongst his people. I imagine the disciples were deeply relieved that Jesus was back, alive and well, but also ecstatic that the life that they had tasted could continue. This full, exciting life of witnessing God's power at work. But then Jesus left. He ascended to heaven. The disciples? Well, if it were me, I would not have enjoyed the emotional roller coaster. Why leave? What now? Why come back just to go again? Jesus explains that his work, this miraculous, humanly impossible task, could be set forth through us because he was leaving a gift. The channel of God's power is still accessible, open, flowing. And not only were they, and are we, able to set forth the mission, but we still have a constant companion, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's stop here for a minute. I grew up with an image of God centered largely only on God the Father and Jesus his Son. The Holy Spirit, I confess, has at times when I was growing up felt like a family member that I've never met but I'm now invited to live with. I felt awkward and uncomfortable, longing to connect with Jesus without a third unfamiliar person in the room. Little by little, I have been and am growing in the realization that I have misunderstood this gift that Jesus left. He didn't leave me something, but someone. Not a force, but his presence. And he isn't introducing me to a stranger. He is inviting me to recognize him in the Holy Spirit as God's personal presence, loving me, being an active agent of his grace in my daily life. So I laughed a little at my own ignorance when I asked my three children who they thought the Holy Spirit was. I was hoping either for some inspiration as I was preparing, or at least some entertainment in hearing their sweet and innocent answers. I expected them to have misunderstood or not understood who the Holy Spirit is, since I have so often overcomplicated my own view of him. They, however, answered confidently and simply. Now you can imagine, 9-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old. This is what they had to say. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. He is good. He is friendly. He is close. And I talk to him just like I talk to Jesus. Well, sermon done and dusted, but I still have 17 minutes to go. So let's explore Paul's experience of God as the Holy Spirit. Let's read together from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul had personally met Jesus on the road to Damascus after the resurrection. He's passionately convicted concerning the life he now gets to live. This life is a life with a crucified and resurrected Christ tangibly with us through his Spirit. So perhaps we are invited to experience something of the relational flow between God, Jesus, and the Spirit through the Spirit working in us. Paul links receiving the Spirit and following God. So Paul prays for the congregations that we will surrender to this life and grab onto this gift and learn to love and serve God, the Father, and Jesus, his Christ, through the Spirit convicting us, teaching us, leading us, helping us, advocating on our behalf, and empowering us. We hear in his letters an urgency that all who want to follow in this life opens up to the power and presence of God working in us, of the Holy Spirit as companion. So would you like to pray with Paul for three gifts of grace in our lives today as well? The first gift, to be empowered inner beings. I love the metaphor that a guest preacher used here probably about a year ago. She explained that as people, we search for ways to stand strong in a world that can be harsh and cruel. Often we decide we can keep standing strong when we lean on something or someone. And she suggested the image of clinging to scaffolding. So we may put up financial scaffolding that we can cling to feel secure and to weather the storms. We may erect social scaffolding, a reputation to rely on, or people who will make us feel important or valued or better. We may turn to medicinal scaffolding, or so we may name it, things that numb the pain or that arouse a sensation so that we can feel something again. Our scaffolding may be our careers, or it may be our escape from work. It may even be scaffolding we build within ourselves by which we rely on our own strength, our own capacity, our skills to stay strong and empowered. Scaffolding can only give temporary structure and stability. It is only as strong as the ground it stands on, and it's easily shaken. And this false sense of security is quickly dismantled when we realize that it all depends on how well we can hold on with our already failing strength. Scaffolding, self-created structures to keep us up, cannot offer what we really need and desire because we are human, broken, limited. We may survive, but left longing to flourish. We may be propped up, living a depleted life, but we cannot be truly empowered, vitally living with his energy flowing through us if we seek for strength elsewhere. God made us to be integrated with the source of all life, with him. Without him, we do not fully live and we are not tapped into the source that empowers us from within. Becoming internally strong in a world like the one we live in with all the pressures, expectations, and crises requires another way. And here's what Paul, amidst the worst of times and terrible situations, suggests. We are praying for and faithfully receiving an endoskeleton that holds us up from within. This is our structure. this internal strength is creatively, gently, yet powerfully brought into being by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Out of his glorious riches. In other words, this energy, power, comes from God. Power through the Holy Spirit. His power flowing through us as we get to know him and surrender to this flow of energy. This is our endoskeleton that makes people wonder, how can he be so calm? Or how is she still standing? The Holy Spirit working in us helps us weather the storms and stay calm when chaos threatens to destroy everything around us. His being infiltrates into our inner being and we are transformed by something the world does not know without God, someone. And I think you know it when you feel it. His personal presence in your inner being, an organically created and given endoskeleton that becomes who you are. I am breathing God's breath. You are a being breathing God's breath. And how appropriate, since ruach, the Old Testament word for spirit, can also mean wind or breath. We can be empowered inner beings despite chaos and suffering amidst the worst of times, sickness, loss. Because the source of life, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave, can flow in us and through us. May we turn to him so that he can strengthen us with power through his spirit in our inner being. The second gift, to be empowered to believe and to love. I think these two are interlinked. The more we experience Jesus' encompassing love, the more we can believe that he is who he says he is. The more we learn and understand about God, the more our hearts are convicted and drawn to respond in love. Paul sees the work of the Holy Spirit in us to grow, to have the strength to actually believe, thus guiding us to realize that faith is both a gift and an act of surrender. And to love, again, guiding us to realize that it's more than a feeling, but a way of living. Both require courage and strength. Both cannot be brought into realization on our own accord, but only through the Holy Spirit enabling us. So can we perhaps say then that when we struggle to believe, I'm thinking of Thomas, whom we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that we are invited to, instead of turning to guilt, or to shame, to open up anew to the Holy Spirit, pouring into us the capacity to believe, testifying of who God is and how we are loved and forgiven, convicting us of truth. Can we say that when love doesn't come easily, and here I'm speaking both of self-love and love for others, that we don't punish ourselves or detach from our inherent longing to connect, to love, and to be loved, but that we turn to the power of the Holy Spirit, pouring in us the content of Jesus' being as we have come to know him, pursued by love, for love, a powerful force, an energy burning in us to be human as we were created to be, turning to God in faith, surrendering to love, empowered to believe and to love. The third gift, to be empowered to do more than we can measure or even imagine. Paul prays not that we can do a list of wonderful and impressive things on our wish list, but that the work that God is doing, which can be more than we can measure or imagine, that could be done through us so that this would glorify God. That we as a church would be a place, an instrument, a people who glorifies him as a vessel of this transformational and miraculous power in the world. When I imagine what this can look like, I recall that when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, they were empowered to communicate in a way that brought people together and allowed the message of the gospel to spread exponentially. This was humanly impossible. I recall that when power went out of Jesus, a woman was healed by just simply touching the hem of his garment. This was humanly impossible. I recall people rushing to place their sick on the streets so that Peter's shadow would fall on them. A symbol of the Spirit working through the body of Christ, his church, to do immeasurably more than we can imagine. So I imagine here, people praying for each other and God working in ways that we could not have dreamed of. I imagine God opening up resources to feed the poor, to develop skills and to empower people to be the talented, gifted, passionate individuals that he has called them to be. I imagine the Holy Spirit harnessing the gifts, talents, passions of the people he breathed life into to bring hope in hopeless situations. But as I look at the brokenness and loneliness that Jesus did not walk by, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus in the tree, I also imagine the Holy Spirit in the very ordinary, significant moments of our everyday life, continuing in us and through us the work that Jesus started. I imagine him bending down under the arm of the person whose depression has crippled him to the point that he cannot stand up, and raising him to his feet to face another day, doing immeasurably more in that moment than that person thought was possible. I imagine him standing next to the couple, lighting a candle, different to all the ones before, because after years of struggling with infertility, hopeless diagnoses one after the other, and giving up on a dream, the Holy Spirit nestled life within the woman's womb. More than they could know to ask at this point. Immeasurably more than they could imagine. Or breathing love back into a dying marriage as a husband and wife see each other again like they did for the first time and relearn to trust the touch that has become foreign to both of them. Or igniting joy and peace within the hearts of the parents celebrating yet another birthday in the hospital with their special needs child. And yet, as I imagine what the Holy Spirit could do, I am humbled because there is more. We pray for that which we do not even know to ask or cannot even begin to imagine. What could that look like? Both the once-in-a-lifetime type of moments and the seemingly small everyday moments speak of God's power working through us. In our stories, God is glorified. Through our testimonies, his power flows into the lives of others, energizing, revitalizing, breathing life. Perhaps today we can recognize the Holy Spirit as gentle and powerful, as God's presence in our daily lives, agent of grace, agent of love, agent of power. And perhaps we can trust him for inner strength, for the capacity to believe and to love, and for the power to do more than we know is possible without him. The life where the Spirit moves and works isn't reserved for the disciples and those who saw firsthand God's miracles in the gospel. This life is open and accessible to us because we have a constant companion dwelling within us, channeling his power into us, through us. This life is within our reach, graciously given to us. To open up to this companion who is already constantly with you, with me, may I invite you to perhaps try these three things this week. Invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Welcome him as companion in your everyday life. A repeated prayer can be so helpful in regularly opening up to his presence in your life. Just asking him, Holy Spirit, will you make yourself at home in my life today? And then ask for the grace of experiencing his power in your life. And lastly, notice in the coming week how he comes to you. And thank him as you do. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We pray that we will open ourselves up to you, that we will embrace your love and the grace that you give us every day, that we will recognize you, turn to you, lean on you, trust you. Thank you for being an active agent of God's grace and God's love in our lives. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the love of God our Father, the forgiveness and the friendship of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Amen.